Welcome to University Matters on Campus FM. I'm Patricia Camilleri. In this series, I will be talking to academic staff about their research, their international networks, their aims and plans for the future. I shall also be hearing from staff and students about the many events that take place here at the University of Malta. This is the programme that keeps you informed about what's happening on campus. I'm very happy to have with me today in the studio Dr. Anna McElhattan. Dr. McElhattan is a pharmacist by profession with a keen interest in microbiology. She gained her PhD from Queen's University Belfast in 2002 and had already joined the then Institute of Healthcare in 1994. Now, of course, it's the Faculty of Health Sciences, and she has taught food and pharmaceutical microbiology and also has been involved in various research activities ever since. Dr. McElhattan has also been involved in Socrates, Erasmus and Mundus projects as a partner, core group member and working group leader for the past 7 years. At present, she's a project coordinator for an Interreg project led by the University of Malta, which makes things really quite complicated. Perhaps we'll hear a little bit about that later on. She's edited a book on food safety, published by Springer in 2007, has just gone to print with a second called Novel Food Processes and Their Effect on the Environment, and she tells me that there is a third in the pipeline. Welcome to the programme. I think that, as an initial question, I think perhaps, you know, I ought to ask you about your department, because you are head of the Department of Food Studies and Environmental Health, and it sounds like a very topical issue. These are subjects which one is continually hearing about.
Indeed,
in the news, and the university has introduced this department, and which is growing.
Indeed.
I know. So tell us something about it.
Right. The department, the now Department of Food Studies and Environmental Health, basically runs courses that are associated with nutrition, dietetics, food science, a bit of environment, some pollution. So it's basically the whole gamut, as it were, of subjects that have to do anything with quality of life and the prevention of illness rather than, you could say, the care of illness. So even though we used to form part of the Institute of Healthcare, we were more interested in, rather than caring, but rather prevention of illness. So our courses are essentially, you could say, as I said, nutrition, dietetics, and all those. Now, the kind of people who would normally come into those kinds of courses would normally be those people who are interested in the sciences, but not too much on the caring side, but more on the, you could say, the scientific and the, you could say, the almost forensic side. Maybe I should sort of explain myself a little bit better where that's concerned. In food studies per se, very often you are dealt, you have a situation where you have a series of products, a series of materials, and you normally would have to go along and combine them together to form some sort of product which would then be presented to a person to eat. For example, a case in point, something very ordinary, baked beans, for example. Just consider all the work that needs to go into just preparing a can of baked beans. You've got the canning process that sort of was developed 200 years ago just because of the Napoleonic Wars. If it hadn't been for those, it wouldn't have had cans. The concept of beans coming from where they are, the way they are grown. Certain beans can be used for one thing, not another. For example, red kidney beans, if they're raw, they're poisonous, so you have to cook them. So you get into all these complications, and if they're not cooked properly, you've got a problem. So even something as mundane and as ordinary as a can of beans, which people wouldn't even take any notice of on a shelf, is quite a complicated matter. So, and we haven't even gone into the nutritional aspects of proteins and this and that and the other. So as you can see, it's quite complex. Yeah. So a person, for example, studying nutrition would literally have to learn, you could say, the composition of foods, where they come from, how they interact with the body once a person has actually eaten them and all that sort of thing. A person who's interested in food safety would go along and say, okay, the canning process, has it been done well? Is there any botulinum toxin in it? Is the can the way it should be or not? If you were looking at it from a food science point of view, the structure of the can, the closures, the lining on the inside. So there's so much for the simple, humble can of beans. So our department basically has to go along and try to give students a very good grounding, maybe an appreciation more than a specialization, of various areas of anything pertaining to food, so that they can then become nutritionists, dietitians, environmental health officers, food safety specialists, and the like. So this is, you could say, huge remit of our tiny department.
Yes, it's extremely wide-ranging. I mean, hearing you speak, I can imagine how, in 3 years, it's a three-year course.
A three-year course, yes.
I can imagine how you managed to fit everything into
With difficulty.
With difficulty, I can imagine. And I suppose nowadays an undergraduate course is considered the first step,
yes,
then towards a specialization. Looking at it from the outside, I can sometimes I watch these, like I'm sure lots of other people do, these crime programs on on TV, and very often the food, from the forensic point of view, it comes into play very much, and a lot of analysis goes on.
It does. That's another aspect of our department. Basically, we are actually trying to build up our capacities in the analytical point of view, and that is why we try to literally involve ourselves as much as we can in various projects, because there you've got a wonderful opportunity to go along and interact with people who have been there and done that before us, and have the expertise and the experience of previous, pitfalls and all that sort of thing, to help us, you could say, build up our own little niche, which we are in the process of doing. Luckily, you could say, these past year and a half or so, our tiny department has doubled. That is, we were previously two full-timers, we are now four full-timers. We're lucky to have one person who has come to us from local industry, and we are extremely privileged and lucky to have a person who has come to us from UCD in Dublin to help sort of bolster up our food science and food modelling aspect. So, we're pretty
young.
You're
developing.
Yes, we're developing, and with a lot of young, new blood, as it were.
And this really does reflect the importance of those various areas that you've spoken about, that in society at the moment, people are taking particular interest in every side of what you've mentioned.
Yes.
One of the things that comes across as well, hearing you speak, is the knowledge that the students have to have, in the sense that they really have to be good at science.
Yes,
this is something that's necessary for them.
Exactly. And this is something that I think many people do not really fully appreciate. People sometimes think that the pure sciences are highbrow and all that sort of thing. True. The pure sciences are beautiful to do. That is where we all come from at the end of the day, because we have to first learn the rules and then apply them. But in applied sciences, the variety of expertise that is needed just to maintain quality and safety for even the most humble of products is unbelievable. And many people do not, well, maybe we haven't brought this across as clearly as we should have. Fundamentally, in the applied sciences, I just limit myself to food, where that's concerned, you literally have to have the whole range of both chemical and microbiological expertise, or at least try and get as much of it as you possibly can. And if you happen to be a hybrid scientist, where you're one foot in chemistry, one foot in biology and microbiology, all the better. So any person who is vaguely interested in food and food science basically has to be a little bit of an all-rounder with an interest in a particular area. So that person has to be a good scientist. Only then can they then go on to do the applied science.
And when they're doing a course like yours, we'll speak more in detail about the upcoming BSc, But then I suppose they could also discover what really interests them as well.
Indeed.
If they have they can touch on the various areas.
Indeed.
They might go in thinking they're interested in one thing and then discover
exactly
a real interest while they're actually doing the course.
Exactly.
Your own particular research interests, yes. What are those, in fact?
Well, they've developed over the years. I started out with an interest in general food safety, the concept of HACCP and how that's applied to small businesses. Well, basically in Malta, where definitions are concerned, we're all practically small and medium-sized businesses, so that's where it started.
I think the definition is under...
Under 50, something
employees.
Like that, yes. And then from there, I had the privilege of joining a bunch of people in one of the networks I was in, and we started sort of looking at various different areas. And I kind of gravitated, unbeknownst to myself, towards dairy. So I like cheese. Let's just put it like that. I like cheese and milk, yogurts, kefir, you name it. How they're made, what makes them what they are, how they're kept safe, how they're packaged, because that's another aspect of food science that we don't take any notice of. The packaging these days is not just simply something to wrap something up, but it's actually part of the quality and safety of the product. So that's another area alongside with it. And so, as I said, dairy, and at the moment our specific interests are basically going into local dairy and local traditional products. So, again, that kind of came along as a consequence of researching into the third book I'm involved with. So things just keep overlapping and coming together, and I just go with the flow.
What are these novel processes and their effects on the environment? What do you mean by novel processes?
Basically, what we did was we had a look at the old way of, for example, producing a cheese, producing olive oil, producing various other products. And in a traditional way, in small quantities, the particular products were, for example, produced in a ratset, for example, or in a small farm holding, where, for example, if it's olive oil, they had the presses there and they were bottled and all that sort of thing. In the case of cheeses, again, in a little kitchen, the farmer's wife would come along and sort of process the milk that her husband would have milked from the goats or sheep they have and that sort of thing. But the thing is, scaling that up has its problems. What you can do with one or two olive trees or 6 to 8 sheep, you can't do with an orchard or a whole herd. It's different. And so the processes have to change. Then also combined with that, you've got the new legislation, both EU and local, which come into play. So you've got controls there as well. So the concept is to try and see how one has moved from the small artisanal model to the larger local industrial model, and how the products have changed, if they have. Hopefully they haven't, because we would like to retain that has been sort of garnered through decades, if not centuries, of traditional knowledge. So that's
keeping
the
a balance
area.
Between the
exactly.
two. The Italians are very keen, obviously, on their
yes.
local products. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally from village to village,
yes.
say, let alone region
yes.
to region.
Yes.
Somehow they managed to give the impression of retaining the mm-hmm. artisanal kind of approach.
Mm-hmm.
But probably they have things which are even more sort of mass produced.
Mm-hmm.
Although people I know like to go back to a certain village every year and get their olive oil. Is that what we're trying to aim at here? I mean, what are the aims, really?
Well, I hope we are, because really, I don't think that as a country we can. Well, this is my own personal opinion, love it or hate it. We can't really compete with economies of scale. But where quality is concerned, that's where we have our niche. So if we can produce high quality products that are both safe, tasty, and nutritious, Maybe we can sort of find some health claim. Who knows where that's concerned. Just because we don't know about it doesn't mean it's not there. That's where our forte lies. So,
well, in Sicily, I mean, I know a lot of Maltese who go to Sicily for ecotourism, and they go for the for the particular products of a place. It's become very popular. So here one would hope that work on your side, on the scientific side, could be sort of married to the local, the approach, the farm yard kind of approach, and people can actually make money out of it.
Well, let's just say the university has at the moment, if I'm not mistaken, something like 10 Interreg projects, Italia-Malta. And basically those are, you could say, Malta and regions of Sicily, Ragusa and Catania. So we've been there a couple of times as a group in my project, and that's precisely what they're doing. So we've got a lot to learn, but it's not something that's unreachable. So
absolutely. About the course itself, there's going to be a new, a revamped BSc in Applied Food and Nutritional Sciences.
Well, actually, this one is totally new.
Totally new. Oh, God.
A bit of recent history. Fundamentally, up to now, what we've had is we've had people with healthcare first undergraduate degrees, together with dentists, and potentially dentists and some medics, who have joined us for a postgraduate diploma in nutrition and dietetics. That has been running for the best of 10, 12 years. And has sort of over the years produced a good number of nutritionists. But over the years, we've always sort of gotten feedback, as if to say, so from these people saying that there were bits and pieces that they felt were missing. Now, in order to fit in these pieces, you can't just literally get a pharmacist or a podiatrist or a physio and up the knowledge you need, because, as I said previously, it's so vast. So the concept was, let's sort of find a means of attracting people from sixth form to come to us for a period of 3 years to do a degree in applied food and nutritional sciences. So we're not turning people into food scientists. We are not turning them into nutritionists or dietitians at this point of a point in time. But what we're doing is we're giving them a good foundation of the sciences together with their applications. And then towards the end of the course, what happens then is that placements begin, seminars and workshops, so that these people could then begin to appreciate what it means to be a food scientist or a food specialist in regulatory affairs, in industry, in a lab environment, what have you, public service, what have you. And then also what it means to work as a nutritionist and a dietitian, because those are two different, distinct professions, and not many people know that. A nutritionist would deal with people who are well but want to have a quality of life, want to maintain their health, and want to live long and basically even prosper. Forgive the pun. In the case of the dietitian, there you're actually dealing with people who already have a pathology, who are already ill, and want to kind of manage their condition with the help of food. Because food is not that different from pharmaceuticals. Pharmaceuticals are specialized products that are taken in tiny quantities. Food is a less specialized product taken in, unfortunately, very often excessive quantities. So basically, this is what we want people to learn about. So in their final year, they would have a good knowledge and then can make an informed decision as to what they want to do, as it were, when they grow up. In other words, when they go to the postgraduate courses. So then, with the 3 years, they've got a general idea. Then eventually, that's on the books now at the moment this year, we then go along and design specialized courses in dietetics, full stop, nutrition, full stop. And that's there where they can then register locally to work as nutritionists or dietitians. Because, by the way, both the nutrition profession and the dietetics profession is a regulated profession in Malta by the CPCM. That is the Council
for... A
registration with the Council for Professions Complementary to Medicine. So it's not a joke. We have to make sure that the standards we reach are those that are acceptable to the public, this public committee. So
the course does sound not only multidisciplinary within the scientific sphere, mm-hmm. but also multidisciplinary in terms of looking into, as you say, regulations mm-hmm. or economics.
Exactly.
Or so what are the problematics, if there are problematics, or challenges, shall we say, to creating a course of that nature?
Challenges, I like that. First of all, it is to have the infrastructure and the human resources. Where infrastructure is concerned, we've been working on that for these past 3, 4, if not 5 years. Prior to our move to our new facilities within Mater Dei, there were plans going on and meetings and all that sort of thing. So we are reaching a position, I think, at the moment where we're relatively comfortable with what we've done so far. We've got a lot more to do, there always is, but we're happy to have reached these milestones. Where human resources is concerned, as I said previously, we've doubled in our core resident staff, and the next steps is fundamentally to talk to the right people and within the university itself, because there's a lot going on. So within the university itself, to talk to various people, to see how people can fit us in their diaries and take it from there. So, and if that doesn't work, sort of if we don't get everything from there, then we have to look outside the university. But I'm sure that within this community of ours, we'll find the specialities we need.
Yes, this is the communication,
yes.
Which is so important.
Indeed. And we do, in fact, actually speak and quite often to the Faculty of Science and the Division of Food Systems within IES. So,
in fact, I was already seeing,
yes,
from
yes,
hearing you speak, I was already seeing links in my mind to food
do,
systems.
We do, without a doubt.
And what about the career opportunities? You've spoken about mm-hmm. being a nutritionist or being mm-hmm. a dietitian.
Yes.
What about other career opportunities? Where would your students, at the end of the day, mm-hmm. Be placed? What kind of placements do you get?
Let's say a person comes to us for 3 years. And then has an exit point after 3 years with an honours degree in applied food and nutritional sciences. That person then has a variety of options. That person could go along and down the route of, say, joining a chain of supermarkets as a buyer, as a food specialist, basically as a person sort of looking at labels and nutritional components and safety. A bit of management thrown in as well, legislative affairs. So there's a lot where a person can go down that way. A person might want to go into business where import and exports, where you're looking for novel products, but obviously you don't want to go along and poison someone by what you import. So the knowledge of food and safety and legislation and all that sort of thing is important. A person could end up in regulatory affairs. Within the public service or any other company. So there's a lot of a person. Oh, and what I haven't mentioned is food quality assurance and research and development, sort of in local manufacturing concerns. So you've got that. But there again, by the end of those 3 years, if a person then, as a consequence of the last year, where they would have had seminars and workshops regarding nutrition and dietetics, if they then feel that they want to work with people, because I must emphasize, at this point, after a three-year course, they cannot and should not interact with people on a one-on-one basis. They cannot give professional health-associated advice. But then, by joining the postgraduate, which is another 1 year full-time, there, as a consequence of the information they have gathered over the 3 years, they can then choose to say, look, I want to work with healthy people in the community. I want to be more of a a promoter of quality of life and health? Or do I want to work with people who have problems and I want to alleviate those problems through the informed choice and knowledge of the use of food? So that goes to dietetics. So then they can go there. Now, in nutrition, the nutritionist, again, as I said, can work in both community and in public service. There are people working with health promotion in Mater Dei, all over the place, and private hospitals as well. In the case of dietetics, there's a dire need for dietitians in Malta. There's basically, if memory serves, three qualified dietitians. Mm-hmm. And when you consider the non-communicable disease levels in Malta, such as diabetes, cardiovascular, and all that sort of thing.
Three isn't a lot.
Three, exactly. I think something more like 30 or more would be more like it for the needs of the country. So there's a long way to go there. Those people, as I said, could work in a hospital clinic environment, and they would definitely have challenging jobs, whichever pathway they choose to take.
It sounds as though it is a very career-oriented degree, in actual
fact. It is.
To get in, although I would advise listeners, obviously, to access our website.
Indeed.
to really check up on the requirements for this particular degree. But perhaps you could tell us more or less what kind of qualifications they would need to get on the course.
Well, let's just say the ideal candidate should be a person who, first of all, likes food. One. Secondly, is extremely curious. And thirdly, is a good scientist. So by a good scientist, I mean someone who has studied biology and chemistry, at least to A level, and has physics intermediate. Fundamentally, if you can also have maths on the side,
all the better.
All the better. So the more you have, and the better your foundation, the greater the chance of doing a good job in your undergraduate and postgraduate work. But there again, that's the same across the board for all the students. But fundamentally, they have to have good chemistry, good biology, because without that, they will have a very hard time. Because I can't beat behind the bush. The subject, though intriguing, interesting, dynamic, I'm biased here, fantastic to read about, to hear about, has its own complexities. It is what it is. But if you like it, then the hurdles can be overcome.
Well, I'm sure with your enthusiasm, and I'm sure the shared enthusiasm with your colleagues, I'm sure that the students will be able to take on whatever
indeed,
you
and we're
give
there
them.
To help. We're there to help.
Well, I'd like to thank Dr. Anna McElhattan for coming on University Matters to talk to us today about various aspects of nutrition and food sciences. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being with us on University Matters. You can listen to any of the previous interviews in the series on the Campus FM website. I hope you'll join us again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.